Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. All we ask for is your utter loyalty, 3 hours each and every day. Not just the weekdays, just the ones that end in Y. Appreciate you tuning in. Don, before we get back to the phones, at 844-967-2789, and maybe a few of my impressions on the big 60 Minutes, the Gableman. So hang tight for that. But I don't know if you know Rep. Madison Cawthorn, the infamous rep from North Carolina, apparently called into Charlie Kirk's podcast radio show on the day of January 6th, and a video of that suddenly went viral because he makes something of a confession during the course of this phone call. Let me share a little of this with you gentlemen and the audience as well. U.S. Rep. Madison Cawthorn, Republican from North Carolina, in what is being reported as a video of him calling into right-wing extremist Charlie Kirk's radio show. Now, that's what they describe him as. I'd say, you know, relative to some of the righty-whities, he's kind of vanilla. But anyways, called into Charlie Kirk on January 6th and said he was armed and had carried multiple weapons into the Capitol building inside his wheelchair. That's how we all haul our concealed carry now, Dom. In the chair, Cawthorn, who has been labeled part of the Sedition Caucus, faced a lawsuit that argued based on the 14th Amendment, he is ineligible to serve in Congress based on his role in the insurrection. And I would point out, gents, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson got sued on a similar principle, as did Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany. But the federal lawsuit rolled out by the Minocqua Brewing Company, our pal Kirk Bankstead and his plaintiffs, does not allege that U.S. Senator Ron Johnson or the others literally brought weapons into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th as Cawthorn is captured on videotape confessing. Let me just read the quote. "How are you, Congressman? I wish this was under better circumstances. First of all, are you safe?" Kirk, the head of the far-right group Turning Point USA, asked Cawthorn. "Charlie, I'm safe." Cawthorn replied, "As you know, I believe in the Second Amendment, as well as a lot of other members, so we are armed. We are in a safe location. Can't disclose where." So, you know, Cawthorn went on to say, "Obviously, having a wheelchair, I'm able to carry many multiple weapons at one time. So, you know, everyone around me is armed, and, you know, I think an armed society is a polite society. So I feel very safe. Don't have any high nerves here. Everybody's very, very calm, very sober-minded," he added, despite multiple reports to the contrary.
He's armed. Anyone around him is armed, and he feels very safe at an undisclosed location that he can't tell you where it is. I mean, if you felt safe, sir, why would you be at an undisclosed location?
I'm your huckleberry.
Just asking questions, guys. Please continue.
No, that's it. That's pretty much it.
That's it.
Just the fact that the video is going very viral these days. Apparently, it caught new attention with the lawsuit, the 14th Amendment pleadings that Madison Cawthorn should not appear on the ballot because he's specifically been alleged to be an insurrectionist. And I would say it's one thing to challenge the Electoral College outcome, you know, procedurally in the House chamber. That's what some of these others are alleged to have done. But when you show up with guns at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, that sort of takes it to a whole new level.
You know, I agree. If you do, you know, my gut tells me he didn't. You know, he's talking
armed.
Spec. No.
Had
no,
a taser under there? A Bowie knife?
I mean, I don't believe him. I have no reason to, but I just think, you know, sometimes you get a lot of people talking smack. There was a lot of emotion going on that day. And if you were really in that scenario, you know, why would
like
you
I'm
be
hiding in the basement and I got my biggest shotgun with me
and I feel safe? Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I think a lot of people like that have that bravado. Oh yeah, man, I'm armed to the teeth. We're gonna take on the man. You are the man, Cawthorn. I'm just saying.
But it's this quandary Republicans find themselves in so frequently now. It's like the quandary of supporting Donald Trump's position on Putin. You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. Now Cawthorne is damned if he says, hell yeah, I was armed. I had my sawed-off shotgun. Got my Molotov cocktails in the back. Or he says, no, I've been lying about it the whole time. I'm not really a Second Amendment fringer, crazy guy that would show up armed at an insurrection. Well, if you're that sort of Second Amendment guy that he claims to be, hell yes, you'd have your gun. You'd have a lot of guns.
What kind of guns? What kind of arms? What do you know what I'm saying? That's the question. What do you got? How often do you shoot?
Well, where were you on the Charlie Kirk show when he was co-pilot that day? I don't need a co-pilot.
But you know what I'm saying? Charlie, I mean, a lot of these guys just they get out there, they get a mic in front of them. Guy like, I mean, Cawthorne, he has. I mean, how much world experience does the guy have? Not a whole lot, right? He's half our age. He's not very well traveled, and I just think he gets
there fast, according to his driving record.
Ain't that the truth? Another politician, Republican politician, you know, just discarding the laws, the law abiders. But I think they just get so pumped up on the macho-ness of it all that I doubt it. I just doubt it.
Well, I always knew you were the cynic in the crowd.
I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon.
Exactly. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, I
either.
Don't believe that. Well, of course, because that comes from the draft dodging POS former president.
What has Madison Cawthorn done to make you give you any indication that he would in fact have multiple arms on him?
Well, the fact that he's supportive of the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, the fact that he drives around at rapid speed despite having lost his driver's license.
Well, I drive fast, too.
But you didn't lose your license, man.
Not recently.
You're not driving after a second revocation.
Oh, but I probably would if I did. I mean, you know, those are not... Come on, man. I mean,
you're the sort of guy that would go pack into the U.S. Capitol with his wheelchair.
I just think it's a false bravado. That's what I think it is. I think there's a lot of that. You get, oh, yeah, we're ready to roll. See you in the street. Yeah, good. Where have you been then, Cawthorne?
844-967-2789. Sounds like you cracked a PBR or something. Gary from Sussex, how you doing, man? You packing, Gary?
Hey, Gary.
Yes. Hey, Dom. Yes, I am. But I don't carry it on me. I just leave it in my van.
If you showed up at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, let's say for an insurrectionist sort of protest, would you bring the guns in the Capitol, or would you have left them back at your...
Hotel room outside the district.
Somewhere legally.
Well, first of all, I would not have brought it on the plane, locked away.
Okay, so you drove down. You got a Freedom Convoy shotgun ride down to the big rally that day. So you didn't cross lines in an airplane or anything else. You just happen to have your gun with you, Gary. Do you walk in the Capitol with it?
Hey, no, I would not. When I travel, driving my vehicle, whether it's my truck or my personal vehicle, I keep it with me just in case. Who knows, you know? I haven't had any problems, not too many times, only one time.
You ever been mugged, Gary?
Yes. Yes, I was sitting in my truck doing paperwork, and a guy came up to me, and he pulled a knife on me, and he's only like 6 inches away because I'm sitting in a front seat, you know, my driver's side, and he pulled out a knife and stuck it in my face and told me to give me my money. And I told him I don't have any money. I lied through my floss teeth. And I did have my gun in my lunchbox, and I reached over and I said, well, just let me see if I have my wallet in my lunchbox. And I pulled out my gun, stuck in his face, and told him I'm going to blow his stinking head off. Next thing we know, like 15 minutes later, we're having lunch together. This is the honest truth.
How did that come to how did you end up having lunch with the dude who stuck a knife in your face and you stuck a gun in his face? And then you guys said, hey, let's go get a Reuben. How did that come to pass?
This is the honest to God truth. Within 5 minutes, my heart was pounding. His heart was pounding. He wasn't expecting me to pull a gun on him.
I don't suppose he was.
We were just sitting there talking and how lucky we are. And the next thing I know, I asked him, I said, you know, why did you do this? And he said, well, I'm on the run. I got out of prison. I didn't check in my PO and the whole shooting shebang. And I said, what were you in prison for? And he said, for murder. And so the next thing I know, we're talking, and I told him, I said, I'll take you to the Salvation Army would get you all straightened out. And he said, no. And I tried. We talked for probably 2 hours. And I wasn't afraid of him. I knew God would have protection on both of us because neither one of us got hurt. And that was good. So, but that's not why I called.
What'd you have for lunch that? What was the lunch, though, Gary? Where did you guys eat?
We went to McDonald's over on Appleton Avenue and Hampton, the McDonald's over there. And I was in the gas station on the corner of Hampton and Appleton Avenue. And so we just went over about a block and a half away. It was really kind of cool. I'll never forget, his name was Keith. He's 41 years old, and it was a miracle. I told him, I said, you know, you got to change your life around. You know, you can't start robbing people. You're going to get shot.
Let me ask you one other important question, because once upon a time, you invited me and Dominic and maybe Brian, a few of us, out for dinner. But Gary...
Correct. Dinner, no drinks, but go ahead.
You wouldn't spring for any of the beverages. So when you took this young man down to the McDonald's and you guys had a come-to-Jesus moment together... Was it over like a fruit punch, or was he drinking the water out of the clear cup?
No, we had a soda and a hamburger and fries and stuff like that. It was really cool. I'll never forget this. It was unbelievable. I just believe that guy.
That's crazy. That's a hell of a story, Gary. Please go on to your point, if you would, please, sir.
Okay, really fast. I have just 3 points. Okay, did you see?
No, you get one. Make one really good one. You don't get three.
All right, one really good one. Jesse Smollett. Okay. I saw.
No, try a different one. Try a different one.
All right. Another one. As far as insurrections, we're talking about.
Yeah, let's go there.
No. What about the insurrection back in 2010 in Madison when all those guys, Pizza Box and all those other guys, are out there tearing the Capitol apart?
That didn't happen. There was no. Tearing the Capitol up, there was no defecation and wiping it on the walls. You're confusing that with the January 6th action, Gary, but continue.
No, but the January 6th action, yes, people got hurt. There were guns in there.
People crapped on the walls, Gary. That never happened at the Wisconsin Capitol. I can assure you there would be news reports.
They were asked to leave, and they didn't. They took over the Capitol. So what's the difference then? I mean, was that an insurrection?
It was not an insurrection. It was a protest. They weren't trying to delay the peaceful transfer of power. They weren't armed to the teeth. You know, they weren't going line by line up. Cops were, hundreds of cops were attacked, Gary.
No bear spray, no mace, Gary.
It's not even close.
No Molotov cocktails, no bombs at the DNC or the RNC. As far as I can tell, they're not... synonymous circumstances, Gary. Not even close.
All right. Okay, but they were asked to leave, and they refused to leave, okay? And they did go...
That's the point of a protest, Gary. You know, if you leave, it's no longer a protest. I've been to the Capitol. I protested. They say, you got to go. And you say, I'm not going to leave. I'm protesting against blank.
Just one question. You don't have to say anything, but I just want to know... And you don't have to say anything, but my question about the Jesse Smollett thing was, why was he yelling out, I'm not suicidal? Why did he say
Epstein, baby? Jeffrey Epstein, that's your answer, Gary.
You think that guy is such an actor, I'm telling you. And what that judge did to that guy was terrible, I thought. He berated him and belittled him, and I didn't think that was cool. I felt very... I didn't like what that.
At the Smollett sentencing?
Yeah.
He got 150 days, man. He should count himself lucky. Rich black man. A poor black man would have had a differing experience. It would have been worse than a strong chastisement. And 150 days in jail? You can do that standing on your head, Gary. Look at John McCain. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates.
Paper tonight, she said, but I can't work in fast food all my life.
I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon.
I apologize. I forgot you were there. You may go now.
You are very, very special people.
Freedom!
Very cosmopolitan.